Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank and exhort you once again. We appreciate you, Lord, for this moment, and we thank you for this hour that you brought us into. We are a privileged people by the special grace, Father, that you release upon our lives to look into your word, that you might grant us light, insight, and revelations that will cause us to walk in the light that you've so ordained for your people. Thank you once again, Father. Even as we speak your word, we ask, Father, that our listeners will receive instructions and align with your will and purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, so we continue with a new series that we just began, which has to do with the five crowns of the believer. The five crowns of the believer. And this is going to be part number two. If you want to properly follow, as you mean, this is your first time of listening on the telecast that is online, you can go check out for the part one as well. Hallelujah. Now, in the Bible, at least seven distinct words, five in the Old Testament and two in the New, are translated as crowns or crown in our English Bible. At least seven words are used for this particular word. When we talk about crown, so we have either crowns or crowns. Of at least seven words that are used, five in the Old Testament and two in the New Testament. This evening we're going to try to take a look at that again and find out these particular verses or passages. Now, some crowns pertains to or exist only in this life as revealed in the scriptures. Others will possess as you move into eternity. And just like Paul would say, I finished my course. You know, the crown is laid for me, as the case may be. Amen. So there are crowns you receive while on earth, and there are crowns you receive while you move into the other side of glory. And like I said last week also, there are some crowns that are not good to wear. And we said that from the book of Isaiah, remember. We said Samaria won a crown of pride. There are some crowns that you don't wear. They're not good to wear. We're going to look at a few scriptures as touching where crowns are applied or application of the word and those who receive crowns, as a matter of fact. We know that King David, for instance, rejoiced over the crown of pure gold that God gave to him. So we'll look at the symbolism and that goes with it. You know, crown as a symbol of royalty are worn by kings. So, like I said, David talked about a crown of gold that he got. And then, one of the things that crown symbolizes is that of royalty and authority. You know, it speaks of royalty and authority, so it's important you understand when we talk about the word crown. Primarily, speaks of royalty, speaks of kingship or authority, if you will. So if you receive a crown in this context, you're talking about somebody that has authority, someone that has dominion. You know. Okay. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 23, verse number 9. 2 Chronicles 23, verse number 9. The Bible says, moreover, Joab and the priests delivered to the captains of 100 spears and bucklers and shields that have been King David's, which were in the house of God, that belonged to David. And he said, all the people, every man having his own weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple, by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him a testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada his son anointed him and said, God save the king. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this simple action that took place here confirmed kingship on the son of this king. In other words, he's made a king. He's got authority because he got a crown. So that's why I say crown symbolizes what? Authority. So when you talk about receiving crown, you have to understand what it stands for. Stand for authority, stand for rulership, stand for dominion. I remember one of the youngest monarch or crown that we had in Africa was supposed to be the Opi of Agbo in those days. Remember that? Yeah, I was such a young man, but then he was a king. And so what happened? I remember, I think he was taken over to the UK, United Kingdom, until he grows up to be able to attain to the throne. He was a young child, so because of that, they took him over there to allow him grow up. But even while he was there, he was a king. You understand what I mean? Right. So crown gives you authority, gives you dominion, gives you power. So if you receive a crown, it means you've been elevated to the place of authority and power. And it separates you from the rest of the people. You know, every king, similarly, or the obas, whatever the case may be, they got a palace to themselves. So there's a place of separation that takes place when a crown comes upon your head. Amen? Praise God. You follow what I'm saying now? Right. It separates you. So one of the things that crown does for you, it separates you from being a common man to somebody with authority. And that's very important. It changes your status. It changes your living. It changes your, how am I going to describe it? Everything that you were supposed to be receives a change because the crown has come on your head. So the basic thing is crown separates you from being an ordinary man to somebody else with authority and power. So if Jesus promises you a crown, then you have to understand what you are stepping into when you receive that crown. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at the book of Esther. Esther chapter 2 verse 17. Esther chapter 2 verse 17. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the weak virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Did you get that? So you find again that there's a principle of separation. Did you get it? Esther was ordinary, a common person, Jewish person. Now she came into a place of royalty because she got a crown on her head. So crown separates you from the ordinary to somebody else. That's what I want you to pick. And if it is investing you authority, dominion, and sorry, let me use the word, it makes you a principality. Praise God. Because it's a position you that you have authority, you can dictate certain situations or certain circumstances within your environment. So if you truly have the crown, God promised you a crown and you receive a crown, that means you're coming to the place of authority, dominion, and power. That means you're coming to a place of transformation from the ordinary to somebody with dominion. And that's very important for you to understand. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your circumstance, it doesn't matter your background. What's important is God conferring authority on your life by promising you or giving you a crown. Amen. So here is Esther, who was an ordinary person, ordinary Jewish person, rose to the place of authority because a crown was placed on her head. So the king gave her the crown. she becomes completely somebody else. And guess what? She instantly replaced vesting from the position. And that's very important. So the crown distinguished her at this point. You understand that? Right. And then the next thing you got to find out is that crown that is given to you, you know, does not only distinguish you, but it has to do with the person that's giving you the crown. The king did this for Esther, and so it was honored because it was the king that did it. I don't know if you're getting that. Good. So now take that from that perspective. The whole nation, we're going to respect Esther because the king gave her the crown. The authority is coming from the king. The symbolism of the authority is the crown. So now, if God is the one giving you a crown, or Christ won't give you a crown, you have to understand the position. The crown becomes important because of the person that vesting the crown upon your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. So, think about that as you meditate on that. Praise the Lord. Again, like we said, there are several words that are used for crown. One like the meter on the dress. For instance, let's look at the book of Ezekiel 24 and verse 17. We say 16 to 17. Yeah. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of the eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thou tears run down. Verse 17, forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind the tire of thy head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy sick, and eat not the bread of men. When it says, bind the tire of the head, this is referring to the bonnet you see on the priest's cap. You see the priest. Sorry, I don't have the picture here. But you see the priest, where they wear the meter around it, is also referred to as a crown. You know, it symbolizes authority for them in ministering as priests. And this is what God is speaking to Ezekiel here. So, at this position, he's saying, yes, you are supposed to be mourning, but now I don't want you to mourn. You receive this as a place of honor, as a place of elevation. Praise the living God. Amen? So it depends on the priest bonnet, or perhaps the crown worn by ordinary priests. Amen? Praise the Lord. Again, Isaiah 61 verse number 10. So, like I said, you have the natural crown, like David had a golden crown, and then they have the crown, the royal crown that come upon the head of Esther. Here we talk about the meter that's upon the cap of the priest, which is a symbol of authority. Again, keep on understanding one basic thing. The crown is a symbol of authority, dominion, and power. So the priest can minister before God because that crown is there. And God can respond to whatever thing the priest is asking on behalf of the people because the crown is there. Remember, if you go in there to minister, the crown shows. It's a clear indication that, yes, I give you the authority. Praise the Lord. All right. Isaiah 61 verse 10. It said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. I wish I could say amen to that, somebody. For he had clothed me with a garment of salvation. He had covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments. And as a bride adore herself with what? With jewels. When he said decketh herself, this one is talking about priestly headgear. Is that okay? That is a magnificent headdress when he said decked herself with the garment. And how are we going to describe this? Okay. We can see something close to what we observe with the aladuras or CC, cherubim and seraphim. Do you see something there? And the women here. That's the dressing. Do you understand what I mean now? Right. What do you see in cherubim and seraphim? The headgear. The women in particular. You understand that? Especially those that have been elevated to specific offices, maybe prophetess and so on. Their hair gets completely dripping. Now, it gives these people kind of aroma of significance in the midst of the congregation. I don't know if you're getting this. Right, so God is saying this. For the church, this is the way it's supposed to be. In other words, the church is putting on a headgear or a crown that become and makes her significant among the community of nations, if you will. And for you as an individual, you have to take that to yourself, that that's exactly what God is trying to do. If the church is to put on a headgear, that means you are supposed to have a headgear, symbolic of your royalty and the position you occupy amongst people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Alright. So it's similar to what is worn by the high priest, like I said, a mitre, a plate of crown or gold, one in front of, you know, the headgear. You know, when our women dress traditionally, in quote, and they go and meet out your scarf, which you call your igele, that is like a crown. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah, but in this context, it's in religious setting, which was being done. But here, God is using it symbolically to distinguish you as His church. Do you understand that? Right. So when He say you're receiving a crown as a bride adoring herself, that means you have been elevated, you have been promoted, you have been distinguished, you have been praying to a class different from other people. Just like Queen Vesta was displaced by Queen Esther because she received the royal crown. So if the church really can understand, if the church can truly understand something like what we're discussing, you have to understand that the church actually is being elevated, ought to be elevated, if you will, by reason of what God is trying to do or God wants to do with her. Because the church is God's queen upon the face of the earth. Do you understand this? Are we here together? Good. The church is the queen of God upon the face of the earth. It's important we understand this. It's important we understand this. Just like find the book of Revelation chapter 21. I think verse 8, 9 or thereabout. It talks about the queen bearing the name of the church, as a matter of fact, right? Which is the wife of the bride, bearing his name. And you know what that means? When a person got married, what the next thing that is done? He changes the name. Later you're going to say, knee this, knee that. In other words, he changes the former name to the present name. He's taking an authority of the one that she's married to. So when the Bible tells you in the book of Revelation 21, hallelujah, talk about Revelation 21, and it talks about, I will show you the Lamb's wife, took me to the high mountain, show you the Lamb's wife, the bride, with the name, or adore with the name of the glory of the husband. The glory of the husband is the name. Do you understand that? Very good. That is why it's important for you to understand that, because you are married to Jesus, you got the glory of Jesus on your head. And that is a crown you're receiving at this hour. A promotional thing. So your true identity is not tied with you, with Christ. Praise the living God. It's tied to your husband, who is giving you that identity, who is giving you that name, who is giving you that spectacular significance amongst people. The church, I repeat, is a queen of God today, where on the face of the earth, and the church is wearing that crown, or should wear that crown, or ought to wear that crown, which distinguishes her from amongst men. But largely, I'm not sure we are wearing crowns today. I'm not sure, because we are not better than whatever you can find around. Praise the living God. Are we here? So when you say, as a bridegroom deck it, you know, himself with an ornament, I'm talking about priestly crown. And remember what Peter said,
You are a royal priesthood, isn't it?
Yeah. And so one of the things that distinguishes us as royal priesthood
is the crown that we're putting on,
which is also given to us by who? By God himself. You have to first see yourself from this perspective. I keep saying this. It's what you know about yourself that matters and that works. It's what you know about yourself that matters and that works. If you don't see yourself just like any other man, not because you are overrating yourself, I'm not talking of overrating, but agreeing with what God have done, to know the position you are occupying and who exactly you are, it changes everything around you. And it works. Help me, Father. It works for you. What I mean is, it turns out to be as it were fate. See, every woman ordinarily is meant to be provided for by the husband. Did that make sense to you? That's exactly what it is from the very beginning. Every woman is meant to be provided for. Now, if you understand that you are a wife to Jesus, then you should expect provision from who? From your husband. That's why I'm saying what you know is what works for you. So, when we talk about prayers of faith and what you want to believe God for, first identify in your mind that I am asking my husband for what is due me. Praise the living God. That becomes a source of faith. So your knowledge of your being a bride to Christ is very important. Your knowledge of the fact that you're putting on a crown representing the authority of your husband is very important. So in terms of prayer, you can ask for, right? Think about that. What do you think Queen Esther was going to do? Anything Queen Esther asks the king for, the king is going to do it. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I mean here? That helped me now. This is what helps your prayer. When you're going to pray, have that understanding. I am, first of all, I have told us before in this place, you can't be a son until you first be a bride. You must first be married to the husband, which is Christ. Out of that union is where the man child comes out. So you becoming a son of God must first be a bride, then become a son. You can't be a son without being a bride, because it must take the husband and the wife to produce the child. So you must first be married to Jesus, then out of that union the man child comes out. So your sonship is directly connected to your brideship. Now in your brideship, you have authority because you are a bride to the one that owns everything. So in your prayer, understand that you are not just praying, you're praying with understanding that my husband owns everything. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? That makes it very simple. Very simple. So it's like a husband and the wife in the home. If the woman wants to ask for anything from the man, must she go crying first? Most often you'll say, honey, please, I need this. My dear, please, I need this. I don't know if you understand that. It's so easy. Why? You see, that kind of prayer, because we have that understanding. You know who you are. You know who you belong to. You are not just wearing the crown for wearing sake. The crown is an identity. The crown is a place of authority. The crown is a relationship to the one that owns all things. So you go into your husband to ask for anything, you shouldn't act as if you are begging. Speak because you belong to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So this crown we are describing is taken from the magnificent dress of the high priest when performing his functions, and particularly to the mitre and crown or plate of gold on the front of it. Let me give you an example here. Exodus 29 verse number 6. Exodus 29 verse number 6. Thou shalt put the mitre upon his head,
and put the holy crown upon the meter. Did you get that? So the bonnet of the meter of the priest also was made as for Moses' expression, like the Bible tells us. Look at Exodus 28 verse 40. Praise God. Exodus 28 verse 40. And these are the garments which shall make a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, what is that? A braided coat, a mitre, that's a crown now, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. I want you to see the kind of decoration that the priest was going to put on. So the mitre, all of those things described, they were meant for priestly function. That's why I would say, when Peter says you are a royal priesthood, understand, that means you are putting on all of this. And one of the significant of the things you're putting on, like we're discussing, is the mitre, which has to do with what? The crown. And so this is what also brings you in the presence of God. So this mitre we are describing, which is crown we are describing, describes your holiness, describes your righteousness, describes how that it makes it possible and bold for you to approach the throne of grace to help in times of need, even as a priest. Are you there with me? So I want you to see how important this crown subject is all about. First of all, remember, like I said before, if you be the bride, you're putting on the garment of the crown, with the bonnet, the meter, brings you into a position of your relationship to who? To Christ. He being the husband, you've been the wife. He being the king, you've been the queen. Amen. And here, because describing the priestly function, it makes you a priest. That is to say, you should be able to understand that as a bride with a mitre on your forehead, you have authority to function. You have a privilege to function as what? As a priest. You should be able to speak as a priest, not like a beggar. And in this capacity, thank you, Jesus. In this capacity, help me now. You should be able to bet other people. How? Because you see, when Jesus told the disciples, to who sins you forgiven, they are forgiven, to the one you retain, they are retained, that's a priestly function. Is that okay? Hebrews 6 described that to us very vividly. Hebrews 5, rather. Is that okay? Let's look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse number 1, and then we'll come back here. Amen. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gift and sacrifice for sins. Look at that. Now go back a bit. Go back to verse 1. I want to show you something there. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men. God takes you from the world, ordain you, and send you back to the world. That's what I'm saying. The function of the priest is that of reconciliation. It is also winning. Is that of making people get more closer to God, or to get to know God through you. So you are not just, help me now. See what Esther had to become. For the sake of Esther being a queen, the Jews were saved. Did you get this now? Good. So Esther was picked from the Jews, from amongst men, and for the sake of food of the Jews. God ordains you as a priest, not just to rejoice as a priest, but for the sake of the people for whose sake he has ordained you. So your ordination as a priest, when you say a royal priesthood, is not because of the world, because of the people around you. So how are you functioning as a queen, as a priest, with the mitre on your head, in relation to other people who do not yet know God? How are you functioning in that capacity? Because there's a role of the priest. Like we read here. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men. You see, when God was speaking to Paul, he said, I'm taking you from them and I'm sending you back to them. So anytime God takes you, he ordains you and sends you back to the people. Let's look at that. Act 26, look at verse 17, 18, let's say. I'll show you something now. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Did you get it? What's the next verse? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Jesus. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want you to look at it, very important. The assignment that God gave to Saul or Paul. But the key point is, I'm taking you from among the Jews and the Gentiles. I may send you back to them to do this. So, Hebrews 5 says, every high taken from among men and ordained for men. So, you are not just taken from the world and to end it there. You enjoy and go to heaven or whatever the case may be. That is not the purpose. You are taken from amongst men and you are being sent back to men to do what? To get them back to God so that they might receive an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith. That is who? That is in Christ. So the question is, how are you performing that? Because you don't just receive the crown for nothing's sake. The crown is not just something that, oh, come on, I'm the queen. Oh, come on. Yeah, everything comes to me. No. The purpose of the crown is not a priestly function. Praise God. Are you still here? And this is a very crucial, people, that you understand what I'm saying tonight. Your authority is so real. Why? Because you are a wife to who? To King Jesus. But it's all for the sake of those who do not know God. It's for the sake of those who might need to have to come to the Lord. And they have to come to the Lord through you. Praise God. Are we here? This is how important the crown is. So don't forget what I'm trying to say. Just to recap it for you. The crown makes you have boldness in your prayer time. You should be able to talk to God boldly. Amen. Because you are the queen. The queen is not intimidated. You know? And then it brings you to the place where you can also have revelation, because God is not going to use you as a priest without communicating to you. So if you come to understand what it means to receive a crown, that means you are coming to the position where you can also be able to receive revelation from God. Guess what? Pilate's wife got revelation. Woo! Hallelujah. And she has to go speak to Pilate and say, the Lord spoke to me this night. That's the kind of thing I'm saying. Amen. So you see, every husband speaks to the wife. Every king speaks to the queen. So if you truly have come to the place of, I have the mitre on my head, I have the crown on my head, then of course you must come to the place where you begin to hear God expressly as the queen. So one of the things that qualifies you to hear God, because you have the mitre on your forehead. Praise God, somebody. Are we here together? I'm liking this, because so much is coming out of it. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Praise the Lord. I mean, this is just okay for you. You see what I'm saying here? God said, hey, I'm taking you out of the Jews, from the Gentiles, the woman I'm sending you back to open their eyes. That's responsibility. So one of the things that the queen must do is to wake up. Because like I said, Queen Esther, for the sake of Queen Esther, the Jews were what? They were saved. Did you see that? So she didn't just receive the crown for nothing. The crown was for a purpose. Hallelujah. So that is to say, God sent her to the palace for the sake of the Jews. And God took you out of the world, came to the palace of the king for the sake of the people. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's read something from the book of Psalm 21, verse number 1. Reading from verse number 1. So what the kingship and the authority does. Amen. Psalm 21 verse number 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou prevented him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now this is talking about David. Receive a pure gold. But what is that? All of those things. Let's take it from Message Translation. Your strength, God, is the king's strength. God's strength is your strength. Do you understand this? Help is all in Hosanna. You know what? By reason of the fact I realize that God's strength is my strength, he makes me to have the strength I'm supposed to have. I second with the one with the crown. I sing hallelujah or Hosanna, as the case may be. Amen. You gave him exactly what he wanted. You didn't hold back. And that's what I was trying to say. You don't see how the king is going to go. Oh, look at Herod. Look at Herod and the daughter. Remember that? Of the pot. What's this woman now? Herod took the brother's wife and the daughter danced so well. Remember how John the Baptist died? Good. And, tell me anything you want. The woman, the girl went down to the mother and said, oh, this is a request from the king. Okay, get me the head of John the Baptist. Look at that. And the king said, oh, I couldn't hold back my words because of the oath I've made or the language I've spoken before the hearing of the people. He will have preserved John the Baptist, but for the father has made a statement to the hearing of people, as a king, he can't take back his words. That's why the John the Baptist should be beheaded. So that's what I'm saying here. Yeah, David is saying, as a queen, though in quote now, remember that. Right. You have no withholding from me all that I've requested. So get that. With the meter on your head, you can make requests and you can get answers to your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. You gave him exactly what you wanted. You didn't hold back. Verse number 4. You fill his arms with gifts. You gave him a right royal welcome. Hallelujah. With the crown of gold, a royal welcome. You gave him the crown. And so you can't withhold anything from him. Anything I ask you, you're going to do that. Praise God. That's how important the crown is. Like I'm saying. Amen. So crown of pure gold, figuratively, highest royal prosperity. You honored him by giving him this crown of pure gold. Praise the Lord. Are we here? So it goes with a lot of blessings. If you look at the whole of that passage, talks about blessing, talks about prosperity, talks about authority. That's what the crown does. So when you're talking about receiving crown on your head, man, you're talking about the place of authority, dominion, prosperity. You can talk to God, boldness, hallelujah, cleanness. The king looks at you and sees you clean. Why? Because you're a queen. And you know what that means? Oh, come on. Ephesians 2 seems to come up in my mind. You're sitting together with him in heavenly places. Why? Because even on the palace, the queen will see it by the king. Amen. Are you here with me? So you should understand. That is why it's possible for you. You know, the queen will always be there. What's some of those films? The queen will be talking to the woman. I mean, the king will be talking to the wife, and the wife can be talking to the woman. They whisper to each other. Am I correct? Sitting on the same platform, sitting on the throne, they'll be whispering to one another. Oh, come on. Pull that to Ephesians 2 and tell you, you're sitting together with Christ in heavenly places. That means Christ can whisper to you just like you can whisper to him. In your prayer, you're whispering and he's whispering back to you. You have to understand what the crown is all about. Powerful, powerful instrument of authority, dominion, relationship, and closeness to God. If you dare come to understand what I'm talking about tonight, this is liberation for you in terms of your prayer time. Because you'll just be whispering to the king. And the king can just be whispering some things to you. I can be showing you the people. If they see that person there, see that one there, what do you think about it? I mean, that's why the king can tell you who to go minister to and bring back unto him. The crown, man. Hallelujah. Now understand this fact. A lot of our blessings that comes to us come before our asking or seeking. I want you to understand this. What is important is your relationship. Most of the things we receive, they come before we ask for it. Did you ask for life? Simple question. Did you ask for life? You got life. Hallelujah. He gave you life. You never asked for life. There are a lot of things you don't ask for. Before you ask for them, he has already given them to you. Amen. What about your intellect or your thinking? Did you ask for that?
No.
You never sat down when they say, God, I need intellect. I need intellect. No. He gave you intellect. He gave you reason ability. There are a lot of things you don't ask for that he has given to you freely. And that's because he knows you to be the person that he wants to use. Sitting in that position. This is part of the crown you're receiving. Hallelujah. The crown qualifies you to become a unique person, like I said before. Different from who you used to be. Praise God. Your new birth for his son in Christ, to become a citizen of the kingdom, the calling of our nation to the knowledge of Christ, Christ himself, with many other things you can find in the Bible, that the thing bestowed on us even before we ask. For his son, the Bible tells you that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. You didn't ask for him to be slain before he was slain. Did you understand this? Hallelujah. So, now, David's rise to the throne was not because he prayed for it. Am I right? David was not praying. He was a shepherd boy. He wasn't praying to become a king. Was he praying to become a king? No. Some of the blessings you have, not because you pray so much. God just desire to bless you with those things. It's not because you are praying too much. David was not praying for a king. He just fulfilled the heart desires of God. David is a man after God's own heart. That's all. And he made him to become a king. You see that? There are so many things that you have today, that you could have today, that you don't even pray for. They just come because God knows that you need them to fulfill your position as a bride in his kingdom. So whether they be money and whatever, think about that. It's not because you work so hard that's why you're making more money than other people. Especially if he calls you to himself, he has reason to bless you with so many things that you don't ask for. Why? Because you are occupying the position of the queen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You never asked for a savior before Jesus was given to you. Even in Eden. Hallelujah. Are we here? I want you to get this. I want you to get this. I'll praise the living God. If we must read, I think the book of Hebrews as well. You know, if you look at the Hebrew chapter 1, you're going to see how God talked about setting up a crown on the head of Jesus, elevating him above the angels. Amen? Praise the living God. But it talks about setting up a crown of pure gold, like we said before, in the case of David. You know, which was the glory. A pure gold actually speaking about Christ. You must remember that. Because you're talking about the most holy place. That's the only place you find the use of gold in the tabernacle. So the crown of God speaks of divinity, speaks of the life of God, which is Christ, being given to you. What you're wearing on your head today as a believer is the crown of God, which is Christ himself, the authority and the dominion of God. Praise the living God. Amen. Amen. Christ's own glory and dominion, they are more or less like in fourfold dimension. We may not be able to explore all of that tonight, but let's start reading somewhere from the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Let me just look at that. But they are fourfold in nature. We may not be able to explore all of that tonight, but let's read up to we're going to read from Amplified Translation. There are some things I need you to pick. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. But in the last days, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he has appointed heir, lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the world, and the ages of space, and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Verse 3, I just said it from verse 2. He is the sole expression and the glory of God, the light being the outline or radiance of the divine, and is a perfect imprint, the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word. When he by himself offered, accomplished a cleansing of sins, a radiance of guilt, he sat down on the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Amen. Praise the Lord. So one of the things you find here is that Christ has the crown of glory as a mediator in respect of the power, the authority, the glory wherewith is invested as God's great deputy and anointed one upon Mount Zion, which is the church. He has power on the rod of iron. So, he is a mediator. So, one of the crown there is that Christ is made a mediator for mankind, but right as it were, manifesting through Mount Zion, which is the church. The holy hill of God is Mount Zion. Now, I tried to explain this to you the other day. Mount Zion is different from Jerusalem. How many of you remember? Well, we're dealing with the 144,000. The king was on Mount Zion with his wife and children, and they ruled from Mount Zion to Jerusalem. Jerusalem speaks to the rest of the people. How many of you remember that? Good. So if you're receiving a crown on your head, which has to do with the hill of Mount Zion, it simply means you've moved up from just being an ordinary citizen, from just being among Jewish people, I'm using typology now, and you moved up to where? To be where the king is. The tabernacle and the palace wherever King David was, what a Mount Zion. Mount Zion was higher than Jerusalem. It was up, and then you can look down and see Jerusalem up there. Praise the Lord. And then the sons of the king were not given battle in Jerusalem. They were giving battle where? In Mount Zion. So Hebrews 12:22, we say, you've come to where? Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Now, if you are Mount Zion, go to the church. We're saying Christ is a mediator. But remember, it's not just a mediator in the church, he's a mediator in the church, but to the world. He mediates, though he resides in the church with the bride, with the sons, but to get the world back unto who? Unto God. So again, I try to make you see this, how important it is that you're not just in Mount Zion, you're sitting together with Christ in the most holy place, as it were, because you have the crown of gold on your head, which is his own authority, royalty, dominion, like Queen Esther was. Now you sit in the palace, you sit now in Mount Zion, you have authority, you have dominion, you should be able to cause more people to come back to the throne. The excess of you sitting together with him is to get more people into the kingdom. By implication, David as a king with the queen, they gave birth to who? To sons. If you are united together with Christ, it means you should get more souls to come, because that becomes the result of the union. Amen. Let me show you this and then we'll close for tonight. Look with me in the book of Genesis chapter 4 verse number 1. This is what I'm trying to make you see. And Adam knew Eve as his wife, and she became pregnant and bore Cain. And she said, I've gotten and gained a man with the help of the Lord. Now what I want you to see there is the word new. Adam knew Eve as his wife, and she became pregnant. So what does it mean? They had intercourse. They have relationship. And what's the outcome of that knowledge or that relationship? A child. So you are not just sitting with Christ in Mount Zion without producing children. If you claim to know him, if you claim to be the bride, if you claim to be the wife, where are your seeds? That's the question. For Adam knew Cain, Eve, and they got a baby. That's why I told you in the first place, without her being a bride, you cannot be a son. Sonship comes from brideship. Praise God. Are we here together? Very good. So Adam knew Eve, and they got a Cain. They got a child after that relationship, after that union. When you say Adam knew, that means they had intercourse together. That's what the Bible says. She became what? Pregnant. So once you get into that relationship with Christ, it's expected that you should be pregnant and you bring forth. What that's supposed to mean? You get more people from the streets into God's kingdom. That's your role as a bride. That's the purpose of your being called. That's why you are wearing the crown on your forehead. You're not just wearing it just because you want to show off. No. When Esther wore the crown, saved the Jews. God called Saul, taking you from among the Jews, from the Gentiles, whom I send you back, that they might receive inheritance, be sanctified in my name among those who are sanctified by faith that is in me. Are you getting that? So your role as a bride is that you take more people into God's kingdom. If you can't get more people into God's kingdom, you're failing as a bride. You disappointed your husband. You disappointed the king. You are invalidating your role as a queen. And that's where you lose your authority every now and then. Because the authority is not meant for a show up. It's meant to get more people into God's kingdom. Don't forget this. Adam knew his wife. Now, if you remember, in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, as in Matthew chapter 10, say, go away from me, ye that walk in iniquity, for I knew you not. Can you get that? Say, some will come in the land, they say, oh Lord, we heal in thy name, with this in thy name. Say, go away from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I knew you not. Now you can understand the meaning. I knew you not, I have no relationship with you. It means all the signs and miracles and the children you brought forth, they are bastard because they are not my children. Praise God. I didn't come into you. You have no relationship with me when you did all that you did. Get it right. So when you say, go away from me, that walk in iniquity, for I knew you not. Just get it. It's very simple. I don't have any relationship with you. You are not a bride to me. You have never been a wife to me. All your children are bastards because I'm not the one that fathered them. You need to go check their DNA. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, but if God knows you or knows you, if you have that relationship with him, what's the next thing? You'll be pregnant. You'll be pregnant. And you're going to bring forth. And I pray that'll be your portion in the name of Jesus. From this day, I speak to your life that you will have that personal relationship with Christ. You'll be able to stand as a queen
and sit as a queen and make decrees and declarations and break forth seeds to the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. May your life be fruitful. May your life be fruitful. May the joy of a queen be made manifest to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.